Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary at Mary's Hill Contemporary Cynical. And this is the Earbook Series, and we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to have awakened today, right? I'm grateful to have awakened both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time as everything just keeps going downhill. Everything goes downhill in the world, or it seems it is. And we're staying above water, and actually we're actually joyful. Not that things are disintegrating in front of us, but knowing that the end, we know who wins, we know what's going to happen. We can say thank you to our Blessed Lady, especially for all those years of apparitions and messages and locutions to everybody, and just to prepare us so that we don't, as some mystics say, die of fright like some may. It may be difficult. But we know who wins, and we understand actually now why God waited until this time to give us this gift. Speaking of gifts, tonight's program, again, this is Father Iannuzzi. It's his doctoral dissertation. Really quickly, for joining us for the first time, back I think in 2001, he was asked by the Archbishop of Corrado to translate Luis's writings, and he did so. And Father was so enamored and so enthralled with what he was reading as he was doing the translation, that he chose to use the Book of Heaven and Luis's writings for his doctoral dissertation. And this is really good for all of us, because in the doctoral dissertation, he had to prove that all of Luis's writings, everything that she wrote, was grounded and proven to be accurate and within our Catholic faith. And he successfully defended that. So he took it, he translated it, he summarized it, and then he drives us into the volumes where Jesus helps to corroborate what he tells Luisa. He gives examples. And a lot of times he gives the same examples in a myriad of different ways, touching on each of our unique dispositions. Sometimes I may not catch a word or phrase or a parable, but maybe Joan will jump up for joy because she gets it. Again, we're all disposed slightly differently. We all see it slightly differently. Again, it's not a matter of wrong or right. We're all talking about right, but we're talking about a slightly different perspective. And that's what's so great about all the spiritual gifts that God has given us with all our spiritual fathers and spiritual sisters and mothers to help guide us along this journey. And really our job is to embrace it all. It doesn't mean we can't have favorites. Of course we can. But embrace it all, because who are we to say that God has not enlightened someone to help us along this journey? And speaking about enlightenment, we're talking about desire. And it was really interesting because we were talking about this on Radio Maria on Thursday. How, you know, Jesus says that it starts, and the most important component of this gift is our desire. But we also recognize that our desire increases and grows as we gain in knowledge, right? The more we know of something or of someone, the greater appreciation we have for it or for that person. And obviously then, or ultimately, that can grow into a love, an affection. So sort of like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? If we need desire to begin this journey, but yet our desire is fed by knowledge, which we didn't have initially on the divine will, again, which came first? I think it's important to go back to something that Father, again, Iannuzzi put together for us. It was a quote that he gave us. I think it was back on Radio Maria in 2019. And he stated the following. Of the many gifts the Church bestows upon her members, we often encounter in the approved writings of the mystics those gifts that are called mystical. Mystical gifts are not imparted to all in the same way, shape, or size, but are imparted unequally. This unequal distribution is a prerogative of God alone, who freely imparts his gifts to those whom he chooses according to his good pleasure. In other words, while all the baptized have an equal share in the life of the three divine persons through the infusion of the three theological gifts, not all share equally in the mystical gift God selectively grants to certain souls. This teaching on the unequal distribution of God's mystical gifts can be found in the writings of Vatican II and of the mystical doctor, St. John the Cross. So, we don't share equally. Not all are given it, and not all are given it at the same degrees. And before we get too flattered, this is not merit-based by any means. In fact, I can share something. Again, since this is the Father Iannuzzi Hour, this is the Splendor Creation, another one of Father's periodicals. Really great underlying foundational book for journeying in the divine will. And Father states in the beginning, I think it's on page 120, well, actually 121, he says, quote, since the gifts of the divine will specifically here, since the gifts God freely bestows are not the direct result of man's virtues or holiness, but that of God's favor, which he grants when he wills and to whom he wills. Okay, I'll repeat that. Since the gifts God freely bestows are not the direct result of man's virtues or holiness, but that of God's pure favor, which he grants when he wills and to whom he wills, his gifts are not the result of human achievement. So we've been given a gift. We've been given a gift of introduction to the gift of living the divine will to Louisa Picaretter, to the Book of Heaven. It may have come to us through different routes, but that is a gift. That is an enlightenment. That is a mystical gift. God hasn't given this to everyone. In fact, if you look around, or probably you've noticed it by now, he hasn't given it to many. Not many have the insight. When I say insight, meaning that when they hear Louisa Picaretta, their eyes don't perk up, or they don't lift their head off the book. Or when they start reading the Book of Heaven or the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Hours and the Passion, they don't look to the one next to them and say, this is it. And that's what happened to my wife and I. It was 2014, October 13th, when we were meeting every 13th of the month for Our Lady of Fatima in honor of that. And we would have different guests here, but we knew nothing about the divine will. Deacon John Thompson, in fact, we just celebrated our seventh anniversary of this happening, October 13th, 2014. So Deacon John, at the end of our day, stands up and says, has anyone ever heard of Louisa Picaretta? No, Deacon, no. Sit down, have another cup of coffee. We were sort of like poo-pooing it. But when the crowd dispersed, my wife and I started doing some research. Let's look up this Louisa Picaretta. And without exaggeration, we were side by side on two computers and we were doing some quick research. And within a matter of 10 minutes, we looked at each other and said, this is it. This is it. This is everything we've been looking for. And we believe everything God's been looking for us to find. So again, the gift was introduced to us by Deacon John. I'm sure it was introduced to you by a different mode. But whatever it is a grace. It's a gift. It's a mystical gift to be given the introduction. After the introduction comes a multitude of other grace and graces and gifts. Because we can be introduced to something and reject it. Right? There are many out there that do that. I mean, look at Relevant Radio. I mean, they call this a cult. They call it heretical. They say Louisa Becker is a phony. I mean, poor Patrick Madrid. He was just misled. And this goes on. There's many, many out there that priests, a lot of consecrated that that despise this gift for whatever reason. Well, one is probably a lack of knowledge about it, because if they truly understood it and recognized what it is, how could you not like it? How could you not embrace it? But again, let's go back to, it's these mystical gifts that God has selectively granted to certain. And we've been enlightened by it. We've been introduced to it. And we're taking it further. We wouldn't be here. What was tonight? Tonight's Friday, right? We wouldn't be here on a Friday evening or Friday morning or Friday afternoon, depending on where you're listening from. Listening to me. I mean, Maureen's not with us this evening. I apologize again. We don't have that articulate voice, raspy. My terrible allergies kicking in again today. But there's other things to do. There's other good, holy things to do. Even if we're not playing, you know, games and going to the movies and things like that. But we're here. And there's a fire in our belly. And there's a fire in our mind, in our heart, and our soul to know more about this. So again, before we get flattered, it's nothing we've done. But God has decided to introduce the divine will to us, which he has. He's also given us a grace to get out of our own way and to accept his introduction, to entertain God, for lack of a better phrase, to say subtly, okay, God, I want to listen to what you have to show me. And I think that's what we've been doing. And then the knowledge kicks in. Now, also it goes on to say here, it's very important to know. We're talking about that this gift has been given to us by no achievement of our own. It's also, as Father says, it's also safe to assert that one form of holiness is greater than another. It is safe to assert that. But only when its greatness is determined by the intrinsic nature of the gift and not by the response of the recipient. So I think this bodes exactly into St. Louis de Montfort's statement that in the end times, they'll be the greatest of all saints. It'll be nothing that they have done personally, but what God has done for them. Read that again. It is safe to assert. It's okay to assert that one form of holiness is greater. Well, Jesus says this is the greatest gift that he can give to mankind. He says that this is the greatest apostolate that one can ever embark on. He says that. This is the greatest joy that the creature can give back to God, to embrace, to give our fiat, and to apply what we're being taught. He says it. That puts it above all else. But all else was very important. It got us where we are now. Its greatness can be determined by its intrinsic nature of the gift. Well, we know that this is the greatest of all gifts because it has the greatest impact on all souls, past, present, and future. No other gift that God has given us up to this point can impact the lives of all souls of all times. Think of that. And again, let's go back to, this is a mystical gift that's been selectively granted to us because of nothing we've done. And then, probably mediocrely, we've accepted the call, we've given our fiat, and now we're trying to strengthen ourselves in knowledge so that we can be more grounded. Our fiat can be more robust, can be more honest, and can be more complete. So that as we grow in confidence in God, God can grow in confidence in giving us more. He does it each and every day, each and every moment, for that matter. I want to just mention that quickly. And we're talking about desire. And in the back, in the four easy steps of living the divine will, Jesus states this, and this is very important. This is what Father Nuzzi writes. In the approved writings of the church's mystics, Luisa Picaretta, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that desire is the most important ingredient to enter into and live in God's divine will. It is the most important ingredient to enter into and live in God's divine will, since it is ultimately the Holy Spirit that enables the human creature to desire and to correspond to God's will. So it's the Holy Spirit that brought us the mystical gift of introduction to Luisa, and to whatever extent an understanding of Luisa and enough in order for us to give our initial fiat. So the Holy Spirit is whom we have to thank. Of course, the Father and the Son as well. Because where one is, they're all there. They're all present. So it's ultimately the Holy Spirit that enables the human creature to desire and to correspond to God's will. Knowledge of his will occupies an ancillary role. Knowledge occupies an ancillary, secondary. Not primary. And that would answer the criticism of the falls of the Pharisees. They were steeped in the knowledge, but they didn't have the desire to apply it. Knowledge was enough. And Jesus says that knowledge in of itself without desire and without action is dead. It's futile. It's worthless. Those are the words he was. Just give me my cough for a second. My apologies. So knowledge occupies an ancillary role. So again, we're talking about desire. And Jesus also talks to us about what are the four major components that we need, four ingredients. If we're baking something here, we need four major ingredients. And he tells us what they are. He says, for us to receive this gift, we must be in the state of grace. That's number one. Number two, we must have an ardent desire. We must want this gift ardently. What does Jesus mean by ardently? Well, we'll find out later. Third, he wants to hear us ask for this gift. He wants to hear us ask for it. He says, I've basically muted all of creation except the creature. I want you to speak on behalf of them and on behalf of yourselves. I want to hear you ask for this gift. I want to hear your words that you wish to return to my order, the place, and the purpose which I created you. He wants to hear that. And think about how many times we misuse words or degrade them. Because when we think God's always listening, he wants to hear these words, and yet he's hearing all these other words. These insulting words, these embarrassing words, these unholy words that we use sometimes. And fourth, we have to have an upright intention. We want to have this gift for the benefit of all, so that all may have it. Not just so we can have it run in a corner. So state of grace, upright intention, ask for the gift, and have an ardent desire. But we've already learned that desire is, right here, desire is the most important ingredient to enter into. So that's why I thought we'd digress a little bit here away from the actual lesson for today from Father Nuzzi, not from me, this is from Father Nuzzi. But let's look at what is an ardent desire. And let's find out what it is so that we can be sure that we're forming it, right? Because what is ardent to me may not be ardent to you. And you're probably right, I'm wrong. So to take that ambiguity out of the equation, let's look at what Jesus said. And what he did was, throughout the volumes, he mentioned about the ingredient. Again, we talk about ingredients, the components, what he wants to see. What he will recognize if it's in us as an ardent desire. And he did it throughout the 36 volumes. So Father Nuzzi was able to pluck it out, to extract it. He put it into a Word document. And then we were able to create a visual of it. And of course, we sent it off to him for an audit, and he said, it's fine. So we can share it. So I'm going to do that right now, if I may. Okay. So. Art and Design. This is on the website also, queenofthedivineworld.org, under the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's look at this right now. Okay, so here it is. And the question is, how to discern if we indeed possess an ardent desire for the gift of living the divine will? And again, the answers here and the ingredients are from Father Nuzzi, taken out of the Book of Heaven by Father Nuzzi, but these are the words of Jesus. So basically, we made a little fun here also. And here is the proverbial question, do I completely desire the gift of living the divine will? That, in essence, is an ardent desire. And right away, if we don't know, we have to default to a no. Okay, so what do we do? Well, we call upon the Blessed Virgin Mary. We ask, we pray, we study, we meditate. And there's a whole myriad of other things we can do. That's just to name a few. Okay, so let's go back. Do we completely desire? Well, we're desiring it by desire. And we're praying for it. So let's see, how are we doing? How are we responding? Number one, do I crave its affections and tendencies? The answer is yes or no. Again, this is not, can't pretend, because God knows exactly what the answer is before we give it, and he knows what's inside us. So do we crave its affections and tendencies? And if it's yes, of course, we move on. If it's no, we go back to 1A. Call upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, ask, pray, study, meditate. But if the answer is yes, we crave its attentions. Do I? Yes. Okay, so now we go to number two. Does our memory continuously recall it? Same antidote. Does it? If no, go back to 1A. Call upon the Blessed Virgin Mary. Ask, pray, study, meditate. Why the Blessed Virgin Mary? Because she's the disposer of gifts. God is the manufacturer. The Virgin Mary is the distributor. And we continue to do this. The next step is my intelligence must continuously contemplate it. Does it? Next is, am I willing to sacrifice my life in order to let the divine will have supremacy over all? Am I? Next is, do I possess the proper knowledge of this gift? Do I? Seven is, do I empty myself of my will so as to make room for God's will? Have I? And finally, do I have peace? And if the answer is no to any of this, we go back to 1A, call upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, ask, pray, study, meditate. But if it's yes, all the way down the end, our desire is ardent and our spiritual journey has begun for a complete and perfect life, the fulfillment of the work of creation. Because again, we've learned today, if we haven't learned it before, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that desire is the most important ingredient to enter into and to live in God's most holy divine will. Okay, so that was a little bit of a little bit of a sidetrack there. Okay, so let's go back to this. Whoops. What did I do here? Okay. And we'll go back to here. Okay. So the divine will, we know it's like a cog, right? It's Jesus powering everything, keeping everything going. And then now he's asking us to engage, re-engage as Adam did, to draw from that power. See, we were like, when Adam sinned, we were like, disengaged from the power source. We were unplugged. We were unplugged, unplugged from the wall, and now we're running on battery life. And battery life only has a certain duration. And if the battery life is not recharged again in the wall, we're talking metaphorically speaking, it dies, it stops. And that's what we had. That's a jeopardy that we have, that if we don't come back to God's most holy divine will, if we don't come back to the prelapse here and there of Adam, we may be out of time to do so. So God is recalling us. He's calling us all back. He's calling us all back to return to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God, the prelapse here and there of Adam. So we want to reconnect. And when we reconnect, we run We help to run. We help to distribute this grace to all of the cocks, all of the souls. Everything's like a pass-through. This is the communion of the saints, in my opinion. And if you want to know about the COG, unfortunately, I had the wrong volume and date on the top of this. But I'll make sure that I put this in the Seneca blog. And I asked Father Celso if he has a recollection of what the date and volume is. So I'll make sure I give that to you. And by the way, also, if you're listening for the first time, everything that's on the screen today will be copied and pasted into the website, queenofthedivineworld.org, and it'll be on the page entitled Seneca Blog 2. Why 2? Well, because the first one's full. So we're on number 2. So I don't have time to read this right now, but it's really great because it really explains this and this and this, hopefully being us, because we need to draw and give. So today, Father's bringing us into growth through knowledge and desire. This is part 2. We started last week with part 1. And if you have the Burgundy book, as we call it, Father's doctoral dissertation, which has abrogation by the Holy See, or authorized by the Holy See, this is from 4.1.33.2.2.1, growth through knowledge and desire. So it states, although the Holy Spirit may inspire the soul to desire and experience God's divine will, for the soul to enjoy the complete and perfect life in the divine will, it must acquire a particular knowledge of it, ardently desire it and its affections, and must crave it. It's where it gets a little, I don't know what I want to call it. We just mentioned we have to have an ardent desire. But really, to have an ardent desire, you have to have a knowledge. How can you desire what you don't know? I mean, you can give a blanket desire, but it's not the same. I mean, when do we desire a specific food? After we've tasted it, right? Wow, I want that again. So Father Inez is saying here that we must have the complete and perfect life. We must acquire the particular knowledge so that we can gain the insight and appreciate it to the level that we should, and constantly give our fiat, because every time we're giving a fiat back to God, we're receiving more grace and graces to understand it, to appreciate it, to love it, and to apply it. So it's all reciprocal. And it's not a game to God, but God has to wait to know if we really want this. He's a very gratuitous giver, but he's frugal in the sense that he doesn't want to give his great gifts out to people who aren't going to use them. Remember what he says? He'll then take them from those who will not use it, and he'll give more to others. And that's why the more we gain in knowledge, I think the more we're going to desire this and the more we're going to make room, so to speak, in our memory, will, and intellect to receive it. And then God will give it. When he sees the room available, it's like open space on your computer, right? Then he can download something. So the Holy Spirit may inspire the soul. We talked about that, right? The Holy Spirit brought us this mystical gift, this introduction to Louisa and the Book of Heaven, the gift of living in divine will. The Holy Spirit. But to have the complete and perfect life, we must acquire a particular knowledge. And when we get that particular knowledge, as we increase in our knowledge, specifically particular to the gift of the divine will, our ardent desire increases. It's only natural, right? And its affections must crave it. So here we go back to that chart. So that would be a yes answer to 2 of those 7 questions. Pretty good in one sentence. Let's see what, okay. The footnotes here the father has, again, if you're joining us for the first time, he either gives us the volume and the date or gives us a little carving out of it, a little excerpt of it. In this particular case, he gave us the full volume and date, and that's where I threw in that visual, because that's basically basically explain what effect the particular knowledge will have on us in forming that ardent desire. And again, that ardent desire is so important, because that's really what catapults us sort of into space, into this new dimension, into this this realization that that God has given to us before, but had to take away when Adam was disobedient. So we've gone through that. And again, this, because Father doesn't give us an excerpt, that doesn't mean it's not important. In fact, on the contrary, perhaps there was nothing that he wanted to carve out. He wanted to leave it intact. So maybe he wants us to read the entire passage. So it's advisable if you can. And again, everything will be pasted on the website, so you don't have to worry about taking too many notes right now. Okay, so that's 888, Musgrave. Second sentence here, it says, in the sense, the particular knowledge of Luis's writings reveal its importance. Right, that's true, right? The components of it, the manifestations of it, will all build on the importance, on the severity, on the timingness, on all the attributable factors that why God is giving us this gift right now. It is the antidote. It's the antidote to every poison and every evil that man can throw against man. It conquers it all. And that's why it's been given to us at this time, I think. So that's 889. So in this sense, the particular knowledge of Luis's writings reveal its importance. And that brings us, or Father, and usually brings us to volume 36. Now, volume 36 is really an interesting volume, because volume 36 really is it's sort of like a recap, summarization of all the volumes put together. Sort of like this is the sending away message. Sort of like when you watch a fireworks display and you've had great fireworks the whole night, and then all of a sudden the finale comes and it's one great blast of fireworks after another. I mean, everything's pulled out. Nothing is held back. That's basically what our blessed Lord did in volume 36. Sort of, again, creating that, helping us to develop that desire, helping us to develop that craving for this gift. And on June 30th, 1938, where Father brings us to, he says, quote, it is knowledge that is the first connecting link between them, the souls, us, and the Trinity. It is wanting to live in our will that removes the bars and opens the doors. Opens the doors to let souls come into our arms and delight with us. It is loving us that makes us pour forth rivers of our love and graces to the point of imbuing them with our own divine qualities. So again, the knowledge is the first connecting link. Sort of like that second umbilical cord between us and the Holy Trinity. God kept the first one there when he took everything away from Adam. He still kept that umbilical cord beating our heart, breathing our lungs, and flowing our blood. Because if he had cut that, Adam would have ceased to exist and we wouldn't be here. But he kept Adam alive so that we would be here, so that Jesus can come and redeem us and then come back and sanctify us. This is the intermediate coming. This is the coming 1.5. We've already had the first coming. Jesus came in the flesh 2,000 years ago. The second coming hasn't come yet, but this intermediate coming, St. Bernard of Clairvaux and many others, St. Cyril of Jerusalem speak about, this intermediate coming will be a coming of our blessed Lord between the first and the second coming. It'll be invisible. And only the elect will recognize our Lord in this coming. Try to talk to a Catholic right now and say, you know that there's three comings of our Lord? They're going to run. Sounds heretical. Well, St. Bernard de Clairvaux, he's a saint. He's a church doctor. His some of his writings are found in the breviary, I think number 169. So the church reads his work. So he's not some crazy man from the past. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, other doctor of the church. Oh. Father of the church. And there were others too that spoke about this intermediate coming. That's where we are right now. That's the gift of the divine will. It's a preparation for God's second coming. Isn't that incredible? So here, footnote 889, excuse me, June 30th, 1938. It is knowledge that is the first connecting link between them, the souls, and us, the Trinity. It is wanting to live in our will that removes the bars and opens the doors till its souls come into our arms and delight with us. It is loving us that makes us pour forth rivers of our love and graces to the point of imbuing them with our own divine qualities. It's reciprocal of love. That's all it is. So from that perspective, the divine will is very easy to understand, right? Another quote that Father Annuzzi stated. He says, the divine will is very difficult to explain to others, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. End quote. Why? Because it takes our fiat to receive the grace, and grace is in order to understand it. So if we're just rambling like I do sometimes, it makes no sense. It's hard to describe the gift of living the divine will in words. First of all, we don't know, do we say too much? Do we say too little? Do we say just enough? And think of the story of the three bears. It's hard. Do we use the right words? Do we say the right things? One chance for a first impression? Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. But then once we accept it, it all comes easily. Again, those mystical gifts come. Again, like we said, grateful to have awakened physically as well as spiritually. Spiritually, we're being awakened every day, every moment. If we're reading and listening, this is happening at every moment of our lives. We're constantly growing. We're constantly expanding. And as we expand, God is putting more grace and graces, filling us with more gifts. It's reciprocal. Amazing. Okay, go back to the top. Check the chat board real quick. Okay. All right. So, continuing. To Louise said, Jesus reveals that the knowledge of the truths contained in her writings help to illuminate, vivify, heal, and transform the wounded human will so as to inaugurate the kingdom of his divine will on earth. For each truth Jesus reveals is a continuation of the work of creation. It emits a fragrance that embellishes heaven and earth and forges a greater bond and union with mankind. Again, this is Father Nuzzi's summary. He's taken his summary and he's driven it into the volumes. Now, with what we just read, to Louisa, Jesus reveals that the knowledge of the truths contained in her writings help to illuminate, vivify, heal, and transform the wounded will. So as to inaugurate the kingdom of the divine will on earth. Again, footnote number 890, Father Annuzzi brings us to volume 26, May 12, 1929. Didn't give us an excerpt, so we'll go to that volume when we can. Footnote 891, for each truth Jesus reveals. Okay, there's footnotes 455 and 498, which I did not include. They were just too long for this session. But again, you'll find them probably at 4.02. And is a continuation of the work of creation. Jesus mentions that. In fact, I just read that. Yes, not the other day, just a moment. Let's see. Same passage. February 13th. No. Okay. Well, I'll read this one first and I'll read the second one. Okay, so this is. For each truth Jesus reveals, it is a continuation of the work of creation. See, Jesus told us that creation is not completed yet. That's what's so interesting. If Jesus states that creation has not been yet completed, and yet if the gift of the divine will has been unleashed, unveiled to us, the mystical gifts have been given to us already to identify it, some to accept it, and some to choose the journey on it, then one can only conclude that we are being invited into the work of creation, the completion of the work of creation by God himself, by the Holy Trinity. They're asking for us to participate. And I know when I thought that, I said, okay, well, what can I do? I can barely help myself. We can't do anything, and God knows that. But he's giving us sort of like a free ride. He wants our company. It's like that video, not the video, that image of the of a little three-year-old girl that wants to dance but doesn't know how to dance. So she places her little feet on the feet of her father. And as her father dances, she dances. She's dancing. But is she? We're living, but are we? This is mystical. This is not our average day conversation. This is not how we've journeyed in our faith. It's a whole different level. This is the interior life of Jesus. Not just his humanity, but who Jesus is. Who he was yesterday, who he is today, and who he will be tomorrow. Same Jesus. He wants us with him. Badly. He wants us with him more than we want to be with him. That's for certain. That's for certain. So, did I read it? Did I read 892? No. Oh, yes. Okay. So confused. So exciting. I get so confused. Jesus reveals to Louisa how God rested after the work of creation, only to resume his work through the manifestations of his divinely revealed truths with the work of the six fiats that we pronounced. The whole great machine of the universe was formed, including man, who was to inhabit it and be the king of our so many works. Then after having ordered everything, our love called us to rest. But rest does not mean the completion of work. It means a pause only to resume the work begun. And it's not to say the work wasn't ongoing. It's like operative rest that we talk about. We're resting, but we're operating. God is operating in us during our rest. That's why when we go to bed at night, act of contrition, come divine will, sleep in my sleeping, work in my sleeping, enlighten me in my sleeping, awaken me in my sleeping. And he will. Then after having ordered everything, our love called us to rest. But rest does not mean the completion of work. It means only a pause to resume the work again. Now, do you want to know when we resume our work again? Each time we reveal a truth, we resume the work of creation. And that's volume 13. I'm sorry, volume 29. February 13th, 1931. So every time Jesus reveals the truth, the work of creation continues. Wow. It emits a fragrance that embellishes heaven and earth and forges a greater bond and union with mankind. Mankind has a footnote here. It's 894. I lost my pointer. That's okay. It's from volume 13, September 6, 1921. Every time I reveal to you one more truth about my will, it is one more bond that I form between you and me and with the whole human family. It is a greater union. It is a tighter link. It is a sharing of my inheritance. And up until now, I have made known only what my humanity did, its virtues and its pains, to make the human family heir of the blessings of my humanity. Now I wish to manifest myself more and make known that which my will did in my humanity, so as to make the new generations heirs of my will and manifest to them the effects and the values it contains. End quote. So we're just talking about that, right? We learned and we read about God's humanity. Now we're reading about the interior life of Jesus. This is beyond unbelievable. It's beyond unbelievable that it's just, that it's available, number one. And number two, of course, that he's made it available to us. That still bewilders me. This is the mystical life of Jesus. This is the mystical life that we were born into. This is the mystical life that we were created to be. We're being reacquainted with it slowly. Or quickly, depending on how much space we free up for Jesus, right? How much we delete off our hard drive and allow him to fill it. Desire. Jesus tells us it starts with desire. You know, I think where desire also is able to flourish, when we learn more about ourselves. You know, Jesus says one of the greatest things he can do is to help us know ourselves. You know, to take us out of hiding, so to speak. Yeah, we wear a couple different hats throughout our day, right? Facades, we put on costumes, we act a bit. We have to play certain parts and roles and adhere to certain disciplines depending on who we're with and where we are. Wouldn't it be great if all that can go away and we can just be normal ourselves, loving God, serving God, being with God? We're going back to that. God's telling us to prepare now. Because if we don't prepare now, we may be too late. So, and I think all he's waiting for is that fiat. As we talked about the house, let's get in the foyer. We'll worry about where we're going to go in the house later. Let's get out of the elements. Let's get out of the danger. Let's get into God's house. He's calling us back. Those who are his, hear his voice. Do we hear his voice? Of course we do. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. This is great. I'd like to end also with just another explanation by Father Annuzzi about God's efficacious grace and incomprehensibility. Yeah, we shouldn't feel bad if we don't get this fully. We're not going to. We're not expected to. The Father says, since everything not obtainable by means of sensitive experience, that is, immaterial or spiritual, remains absolutely a mystery to man, it is often beyond man's ability to fully fathom God's one eternal operation, continuously engaged in the creative human soul. For the finite natural capacities of man, limited to the formation of ideas, cannot exhaust the impenetrable mysteries of God's immaterial realities. The human mind can nevertheless grasp, to some extent, the idea of the will of the three divine persons sustaining, with its uncreative power and with its efficacious grace, the soul's finite acts without impairing its free will. It is precisely on account of the infinite distance that passes between man's finite human nature and God's eternal divine nature that Louisa describes God's eternal operation in man as incomprehensible to the human mind and miraculous. End quote. So, all of us not to get discouraged if we don't get this. We're not going to get this completely, but we're going to get this to the extent that God wants us to get it. And that's really all we need at this point. We desire it. God will expand us in the knowledge. And as we know more and learn more, we're going to love more and do more and be more. It's all contingent. It's all reciprocal. This really is easy. We just can't complicate it. I think that's it. Have a great Sunday coming up. Did I put on the back of it? I love this quote. I'm going to end with this, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been, since it has given our soul opportunity to develop. We ask all this to Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything that's happened to us has happened for a reason. God is great and brought about a greater good. It's guaranteed in our catechism. He's proven his guarantee numerous times. Sunday, triple header, for lack of a better phrase. Feast of Saint Raphael, the Archangel Raphael. We'll have with us Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy at 2 p.m. That's 2 to 3:30. And we'll take a little bit of a break and come back at 6 p.m. Same day, Sunday, October 24th, Feast of St. Raphael, for the 45th Benedictine Oblates of Divine Will Novitiate Ceremony. For anyone that wants to become a Benedictine Oblate of the Divine Will, please just send us an email. We'll let you know what we need from you, just a couple bits of information. And again, you've given another fiat to our blessed Lord. It's the only divine will third order that I'm aware of. Approved by the church. Actually, Cardinal Burke, very conservative cardinal, gave his blessing to it as well. So that's at 6 p.m. And then if you recall last week, we were scheduled with Father Hanusi, but unfortunately he had a power outage and couldn't connect with us. So that's why he was not with us last week, but he's agreed to come back this Sunday as part the last leg of that triple header at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Again, on the Feast of St. Raphael the Archangel. And so just to recap, Mother Gabriel and the sisters at 2 p.m., Father Celso at 6 p.m. and Father Iannuzzi at 8 p.m. And then the bed's going to feel really good after that day. But again, grateful to have awakened today and to be awakened spiritually like he does every time we meet We talk about, we read, we listen to the gift of living in divine will through the writings of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, as contained in the book of it. God bless everyone. Good times are right around the corner. Love everybody.